This is the NBC University Theater, bringing you a full-hour dramatization of Sir Walter Scott's rousing novel, The Heart of Midlothian, starring Maureen O'Sullivan as Jeannie Deans. Tolbooth Prison, ironically known as the Heart of Midlothian, was torn down in the year 1815. But it lives on darkly in the pages of the Walter Scott novel. It will live a long time, for the book named after it has become one of the classics of English literature, strong in story and rich in the flavor of Scotland. It has been adjudged the best of Scott's Waverley novels, noted for having fewer characters and incidents than most of his pleasantly winding romances. It has been rarely adapted for radio, but this time we think excitingly, and for one of Hollywood's most engaging actresses, Miss Maureen O'Sullivan. Here, then, is The Heart of Midlothian by Sir Walter Scott.
City of Edinburgh, the capital of lowland Scotland, the twisted lanes and cobbled pathways run straight through town till they merge in the open cobbled court of Grassmarket Square. Here stand the grim stone walls of the Edinburgh Tolbooth, the prison called by the folk of the lowlands the Heart of Midlothian. And a sad heart it was, for on the gibbet facing the Grassmarket many a brave lad danced out his life on air. And in the deep dungeons of the Tolbooth, many a poor lad and lass waited for the day when they'd face the gay crowd, come to see the braw fine sight of a human soul sent straight to the devil from the gallows tree.
I lay me down in the Tolbooth cell. I cannot close me. I'm undone this night to Edinburgh tomb, to the foot of the gallows tree.
So sang Effie Deans, a lass of not 18 years, her fair hair loose about her face, for it is the way of Scotland that the unmarried girl may wear no hat upon her head, but tie her hair back in snood or under her tartan. But the girl who is led forth to shame on the scolding stool in the holy kirk, she may wear neither cap nor stool. And so, in her dark cell in Edinburgh prison, Effie Deans' fair hair hung tangled and twisted about her white face. But shame and death was not always in Effie's heart, for she came of good folk. David Deans was her father, him that fought in the old times for the glory of the Scots Presbyterian Kirk. Nay, there was not always sadness for Effie Deans in days long syne.
Effie, bravo, bravo. You dance like the imps of hell themselves.
Oh, hush, Archie. I'm not heavy saying that. This is wicked. You cannot speak that way.
I speak my own way, Effie. I'm not one of your dour Scotch fanatics.
You not talk that way, Geordie. Tis me favor you speak of. And he's a God-fearing man. And he fashed himself right wicked were he to know I was dancing from Monsieur.
Dancing from Monsieur?
I love the lasses all together. It's sinful.
And yet you come a-dancing with me.
Well, I cannot say ye nay. But I'm a-gan my way the noo.
So soon, Effie, the pipers are but warm.
Oh, if my father knew I pushed to the skirling of the pipes at all, he'd haul me some of the kirk for the shame of it. Nay, Jordy, I'm a-gan hame. But there be my sister, Jean, and her young man who's for a minister. And heaven forfend they were to know I was a-dancing. We see.
Effie.
Oh, Jeannie, why are you out in the yard so quiet?
Hey, there's you in the bear in the hurry.
Where have you been so late? It's not so late, lass.
It's 8 on every clock of the town, and the sun's gone down in the Costorfin Hills. Come on in the house. Now, where have you been?
Down by the burn.
And who was it that parted with you on the road?
Nobody.
Nobody? I wish it may be a right body that keeps folks out, say, Lady Eames.
If you ask me any questions, I'll tell you they lie.
Effie.
I never ask ye for what Reuben Butler comes about the yard ilka day. He's nae comfort talking his favor.
You cannae vex me, Effie, speaking on Reuben. He and I are to be wed. But you dinna vex our favor.
I'm nae vex favor. Not even to dance again. With the man I danced 4 times wi on the green down by at Maggie McQueen's.
Dance? You were no dancing.
Oh, wish to stay the high.
Dance? Did I hear you say dance?
I said that, Feather.
She's a dissolute and profane pastime.
Oh, but Feather,
I could not be a daughter of David Dean for dancing.
Feather, I didn't say that.
If I hear you see Mitchell's name dancing, and as sure as my own father's spirit is with the guest, you'll be no further concern than mine.
Feather.
Well, then gang into supper, lasses, and we'll seek grace to preserve us from profane folly. Wish Jeannie. Is the parish any brood?
You're beautiful, Effie. Very beautiful.
Oh, nay, Jordy. You may have the right to say it.
Not the right? Lass, you speak foolishly. Why not?
Oh, I don't even know your last name. Or where you be from. Or about you.
And what for that?
Oh, it's wicked. It's nae the thing for a proper kirk going lass.
Are you happy, Effie? Do you want to leave me?
Oh, nay, nay. My heart would split a twain for grieving over ye. But tell me who ye are, Geordie. Tell me. I love ye so.
And I love you, my Scots belle of the heather. Here, Effie.
Oh, nay, Geordie, nay.
Effie, Effie, hark. They've started up the pipes. Come on.
I can again down there. I swore. I promise.
Come along, Effie. They'll be laughing and dancing the night through. Come along now.
Nay, Geordie, I promise you.
Come on, Effie. It is time for dancing. The devil take the morrow. Come on.
Effie. Effie. Wake up, lass.
Nay. Come on. Oh, Jeannie?
Get up, lass. Feather will be wanting you, sir.
Oh, his name, who don't?
Who don't what? Nay, it's Mrs. Sadbury from Edinburgh. She's come down to take you off for a serving, lassie, her leather shop.
Oh, in Edinburgh?
Aye. She's Feather's cousin and she's got a claim. Ah, it's a broad time you'll have after you the tune. No more milking and churning. And the shop is hard by the toll book services for services.
Oh, nay. Nay, I cannot go to Edinburgh. Not now. I promise.
Promised? Promised who? There'll be no arguing with Feather. You come and mind down with Mrs. Saddletree and that's an end to it.
Effie? Effie Dean?
Aye, Mrs. Saddletree.
Come here, lass. Effie, sit down.
Aye.
Now, Effie, you ken I be your father's cousin.
Aye, Mrs. Saddletree.
So you ken you're more than a serving lass to me. Now, Effie, you've not been weel. You're pale and waxed white like the corpse at the kirkyard. Are you sick, lassie?
Nay, Mrs. Saddletree.
Effie, you've been like your ain daughter. Is the work too hard for you? Is there any else that's greeting you?
Nay, Mrs. Saddletree. I'll be all right. I'm an uncle strong lass. I'll be all right.
Well, if you say it, Effie. But mind, lass, if there's any trouble, if you canna live no mare with your own heart, come to Mrs. Saddletree, Effie. Remember that, lassie.
Jeannie?
just left. Your fair Brandis.
Oh, Jane,
where have you been? Father's been fair frantic, we worry. It's 2 weeks since you left Edinburgh.
Oh, let me sit down, Jane.
God's mercy. You're ill, Effie?
Nay, I'm tired. Muckle tired.
Come on, be something wrong with you, lass. What is it now?
Oh, let me alone, Jeannie. I cannot tell you anything.
But what happened to you? Where have you been since you left Edinburgh?
I cannot say. Oh, Jeannie, Jeannie, sister, let me alone. For sweet God's love, let me alone.
In the name of the town council of Edinburgh, I arrest you, Effie Deans, for the crime of child murder.
No! No!
According to the law of the crown, in as ye have concealed your pregnancy contrary to the nature of women, and as the bairn born of your body cannot be discovered, you must then be presumed guilty of child murder and must stand trial for your life.
No! No, I ain't killed my bairn. The precious thing, bairn. It was took from me. I ain't killed it. You cannot think
so. In the name of the Edinburgh Council, I mun take you now to Talbooth Prison, Effie Deans. There to be confined till trial, judge ye innocent or guilty.
Jeannie, she's gone. The bailiff's taken her.
I say that. To the heart of Midlothian, to the Talbooth prison for child murder. But she's not guilty. You cannot think her so.
Where is the vile creature that has disgraced the blood of an honest man?
Oh, nay, father.
Oh, how will the wicked be exalted in the high places of their wickedness?
Father, here is Reuben Butler to comfort you. And he a minister of the kirk?
Aye, neighbor, it's a sore trial, doubtless. But think of the Rock of Ages. Think of the promise.
I do. But to be the favor of a castaway, a murderess.
If there's aught you need, silver.
Ah, Butler. If my savings could have saved her free this black snare, I would have walked out with nothing but my bonnet and my staff. But nae silver, nae gold could save her shame. A rope and dirt. No, no. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth is the law of life and God.
Stand. Hold on there. You call me? Come over here, by the rock.
What do you want, sir?
You're a minister of God?
In the name of Christ, my master, I am.
Will you do your master a service? Here. You see over yonder crag, that chimney?
Aye.
Go there and ask for Jeannie Deans.
Jeannie Deans?
Tell her she must meet me at the Hunter's Bog tonight as the moon rises.
Who are you to charge me with such an errand?
The devil.
What?
Oh, no, no. Don't draw away, Master Minister. I'm bad enough, but I'm here to save a life, not to take one. Go your way and do my errand.
But who are you? I can't see your face.
Go on, Pastor. Go on, tell Jeannie Deans that when the moon rises, I shall expect to meet her.
What is the news? Is she to die? Is Effie well?
They wouldn't have let me in the toll booth to see her,
oh.
But how are you, Jeannie?
Oh, sir, sad for Effie and my own self. I wish to tell you, Reuben, that all mourn the end between ye and me.
End it?
Aye, Reuben, for the shame.
But Effie's misfortune cannot break out like it were.
Tonight, can you think more of me than of your own self? But would not Effie's guilt stick to us and to our bairns as long as our heads are above the ground?
But, Jeannie,
oh, yeah, I... Reuben, you're a man of God's ministry. And a man of the kirk. Can I a wife we have lot of shame like unto ours?
If you're determined, Jeannie. But I'll not hold you to it. Avian, on the way for Edinburgh, I was charged with a message for you, Jeannie.
What means?
Aye, from a stranger. A man.
What did he say?
That you were to meet him at Hunter's Bog tonight as the moon rises. He said it was to save a life.
than a Mangang.
But who is this man? You don't ken him.
I don't ken the man, but I'm Mangang anyway. There's life and death on us.
Let me go with
you. No, I dare not. He might not meet me then. Nay, Reuben, I'm Mangang my own self alone.
Silence, lass. You are the sister of the ill-fated Effie Deans.
I am. And if you ever hope God will hear you at your need, tell me what can be done to save her.
God hear me at my need. Little fear of that. I'm predestined to evil here and hereafter.
Oh, do not speak in such a desperate manner. The gospel is sent to the chief of sinners.
It's well directed then to me.
Are you the cause of my sister's ruin?
Aye, curse me for it if you will.
Then I pray God to forgive ye.
Oh, no mind to prayers now. Only promise to do what I say, to save your sister's life. Swear to it.
Surely I will do all that is lawful to a Christian to save her.
I'll have no reservation, lawful or unlawful, Christian or heathen, swear.
I think on what you say and let you carry tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Ha! And where will I be then, with a price on my head enough to turn an archbishop to Judas?
Who are you? I'd not ken your face.
No, you wouldn't. I'm George Robertson, and they ken my face well enow in Edinburgh Toon.
Robertson? He's the robber at the customs house and led the mob against the Talbot prison itself.
Aye, Black Geordie himself. Here enough. Take this pistol, lass, and blow out my head if you must. But save your sister.
But if he's not guilty.
As innocent as yourself.
But where's her bairn that was born?
Murdered. But not with her knowledge or consent.
Oh, God, save us.
'Twas the midwife. An old hag that belongs astride a broom of Sabbath nights. She killed the child. A boy. My son.
Can she be found and given to punishment?
An old she gallows like her, nay, she'll not be found within the year. But listen, Jeannie. By the law, Effie is guilty because she kept her condition secret. 'Tis only the concealment of the birth.
'Tis a sad, cruel law.
But surely Effie told you her secret.
Nay. She never spoke on it to me.
Don't you understand? All you must do is say she told you, whether she did or no.
But that would be a falsehood.
Oh, will you let your sister die on the gallows rather than open your mouth to save her?
But God hath given us a law. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I cannot do evil, even though good may come in.
No, listen, girl. There's no time for fanatic religion. Can you not realize she'll be hanged, strangled for a crime she didn't commit? Can you stand by and... There's the signal.
I
can stay no longer. Go home, Jeannie. And remember, your sister's fate lies within your own hands.
Good evening to you, David Deans.
Oh, Father, it's the Bailey of Edinburgh come.
I see him.
You'll not ask me in.
My door is open to any man.
You'll understand, Mr. Deans, the duty of a magistrate is sometimes unpleasant.
It may be so. I have nothing to say anent it.
You have two daughters, I think, Mr. Deans.
Only Anne.
Anne daughter here at home. And the girl who is a prisoner, your youngest daughter.
When she became a child of Belial, she ceased to be a burden of mine.
You'd not cast her off because of misfortune, surely.
I would not give one of my gray hairs for her life. If her good name be gone. Nay. I'll ne'er see her ne'er. I'll ne'er see her ne'er.
Here now, Mr. Deans, I've issued a subpoena directing your daughter Jeannie to appear on the day of the trial. If she gives evidence, there is reason to hope she may save her sister's life. Good day to you now, sir. Good day to you, Miss Jeannie.
Godspeed, Bailey.
You heard him, Jeannie.
I have.
If you have freedom to gang before that court and hold up your hand for the castaway, you won't gang. But if not, if you would sin, God forbid that you should go into defection at the bidding of mine. I want to fret the conscience of one bairn. No. Not to save the life of the other.
I, Faber.
And yet, You maun be firm in the right. Sin not, lest you be damned. Yet, O Jeannie Byrne, she is your own sister. Worthless and cast away she is. She is your own sister.
Well, no, what have we here, lass?
I'm Jeannie Deans, and I have the governor's warrant to visit my sister, Effie.
Ach, aye, I ken that full well. And I have a special chance to say either sell we at the train you together. Come along, lass.
Must that be said?
Aye, lassie, but dinna be afeard. There's not aught can be said that old Jim Ratcliffe hinna hear afore. Here you are, lassie.
Oh, Jeannie. Effie. Effie.
Oh, he's... So long since I have seen you.
Oh, you're ill, Effie. Very ill.
Oh, what would I give to be 10 times worse?
Oh.
Oh, that I were laying dead at my mither's side in New Battle Kirkyard.
Ach, aye, lassie, dinna be so downhearted. A bonny lass finds easy favor with a judge and jury.
Oh, Effie, if you had but spoken a word, if I were but free to swear that you said but ain word of your bairn, I couldna hang you.
Who told you that, Jeannie?
I cannot say. But it were aimed at Ken well what he was saying. I cannot say more.
You needn't say more, lassie. I ken well enough. It was Jolly Robertson that fed at the bairn.
Was it he that told you, Jeannie? Oh, poor lad. And him in such danger with a price on his head.
Oh, you have suffered this for him, and you can still pity him.
I love him, Jeannie. I love him. And the bairn. Oh, my God, you ken where they have put him, the bairn.
Effie.
Tell what has taken it away, or what they had done with it.
Calm, Effie, calm. Nay, man kens of your bairn.
But what did he say? What did Georgie tell you?
He wanted me to say something to young Court.
Something that would save me life? Oh, Jeannie.
He wanted a lie. He wanted me to bear false witness.
You told him you'd save me life. You said you'd save me, did you not, Jeannie?
I told him I didn't swear to an untruth.
What? Oh, nay, nay, Jeannie. You didn't think I murdered me in bed.
But he said I was to lie, but you told me...
But you'll swear it. You'll save me life. It's no great muckle sin, Jeannie, your own sister.
Can I swear to an untruth?
Jeannie! I'll speak no more. You may save your breath to cool your porridge.
Mona Lee, I swear to all Aesop's fables for her life. And she named me ain't sister, mother. I swear, wills for a wee keg of brandy.
Oh, nay, nay. Speak no more on it,
Effie. Effie, are we to part so? Effie, look up and say what you hear me do. And if my soul is to be damned to hell for aye, I'll do it.
Nay, Jeannie. I was nae half so good as ye. I wouldna flee frae Tolbooth prison with the door open in my face. Let life gang when good fame is gained before it.
Oh, Effie.
Stand be up, lasses.
Effie. Effie.
Come along.
I cannot do it.
Nay sense to grieving. Come along, Jeannie Dean.
Deans, declare yourself to this court. Are you guilty or not guilty?
Oh, not guilty of my poor bairn's death.
Counsel for the Crown will stay his case.
My lord, the defendant has admitted she communicated her pregnancy to no one. And having borne a male child which is not in evidence, it is assumed she meditated or caused the death of the child.
No!
Burn. swear the truth to tell and no truth to conceal in the name of God as at the great day of judgment.
I do.
You are older than your sister, are you not, Jeannie Deans?
Aye, sir.
Did you not remark upon your sister's health when she returned to your home from Edinburgh?
I did, sir.
Pray then, young woman. Did you not ask your sister any question when you observed her looking ill?
Just a moment, sir. Counsel. Do you understand, Jeannie Deans, that the law will condemn your sister to the gallows if it is proved she kept her pregnancy completely secret?
I do, your lordship.
Proceed, counsel.
And now then, Jeannie, did you ask your sister about her health? Speak out.
I asked her what ailed her.
Very well. Take your time now, Jeannie lass. And what was the answer she made? Take courage, young woman. What did your sister tell you?
Nothing.
Nothing? Oh, true, you mean nothing at first, but when you asked her again, did she not tell you what ailed her?
Nay, nay, lass. She never breathed a word to me about it.
Effie Dean, your life is forfeit under the law. I sentence you to be taken to the Talbot prison at Edinburgh, and there at due time to be conveyed to the common place of execution, and there to be hanged by the neck upon a gibbet.
No! You cannot kill me for my burn! Me ain't to be burned!
Jailer, remove the prisoner.
Effie, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it, Effie.
From Hollywood, the NBC University Theater is bringing you Maureen O'Sullivan in a radio version of Sir Walter Scott's The Heart of Midlothian. This play is part of a series devoted to the classic novels of Anglo-American literature. If you're interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now our intermission commentator, Miss Amy Loveman, member of the editorial board of the Saturday Review of Literature and of the Book of the Month Club. Speaking from New York, here is Amy Loveman.
If, as is so often said, the world has moved away from Sir Walter Scott, then so much the worse for the world. For the old necromancy is still there. There, despite the fact that the universality of travel and the ubiquity of the motion picture have rendered superfluous the long descriptions of scenery and place which so delighted the public of Scott's own age. He set the fashion for the historical novel, and the historical novel has never surpassed the excellence he achieved. To take the measure of his power, one need but project the best of the historical fiction of our time against his works, to discover how synthetic are the latter in comparison with the lively reality Scott attained. Stripped of Scott's genius, what is the Heart of Midlothian but melodrama of the rankest sort? The tale of a beautiful young peasant girl on trial for a life, on the charge of having murdered her illegitimate child, of her sister who goes on foot to London to seek out the Queen, and through the favor of one of Scotland's great nobles, whom her simplicity charms, wins an audience and a reprieve, of her lover, a bandit, a smuggler, leader of a famous Edinburgh riot, who turns out to be an aristocrat and a millionaire. It is a question of the first class, but the genius of Scott has transmuted it into a struggle between good and evil, between conscience and lust, into a picture of the Scottish land and the Scottish past, of a sturdy covenanting folk with their passions and repressions and religious fervor, and of a sisterly love that is steadfast and high. This is not the Scott of the pageant romances, but it is nevertheless the Scott who had roamed his native land from childhood on, who knew its people and their past, was steeped in their legends and myths, and could penetrate into their attitudes of mind. There was in Scott an understanding of the simple people, which matched his knowledge of their speech and customs. There was in him the supreme imagination, which could instill into the creations of fiction the breath of life. There was in him, too, on occasions, the sort of Shakespearean humor, which made his lowly folk, with their mingled wisdom and shrewdness, the relief for his tales. Of all the novels, The Heart of Midlothian is by many critics accounted the best. In it, Scott reached in his portrayal of Jeannie Deans and her father a degree of psychological insight he did not always attain, together with the vigor, the picturesqueness of incident, and the inventiveness of fancy, which were always his.
Thank you, Miss Loveman. Our radio version of The Heart of Midlothian, starring Maureen O'Sullivan, will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Rise above the cookie streets of Edinburgh town, and in the public square before the prison, the tall black gallows stands empty, waiting.
Lass, nae mair grieving, lass, as your sister come to the sea.
I cannae see naebody, and least of all, her.
Yes, dear.
Oh, why are ye come to grieve over me, when ye have killed me?
Oh, no, Effie.
Killed me when I am innocent.
Effie.
Neither will I gain body and soul to save ye from being hurt.
Ye shall not die. I will not let ye, Effie.
Oh, gae hame to our favour. And think no mair on me. Oh.
Lassie, lassie, I front of the hangman 3 times and here I stand for that. Bade your time, lass, bade your time. It's not yet the hour.
How did you escape?
Ah, one way or another. But no mind of that. I'm keeping the keys, you know. Not telling how to escape. Of course, for folks with siller, there's always the king's mercy.
The king's mercy?
Aye, lass, a pardon frae his majesty.
Yes, you shall be free. You'll come out again with the face of the sun. And I'm going to London to beg your pardon from the king and the queen.
But, Jeannie, the king and queen live 1,000 miles away. I'll be gain afore ye with there.
Oh, you must gain. It's nae so far.
Oh, not a leave. Ye're away to London. Ha! Well, there's a brave lass for ye. But ye may nae gae to the king with our friend, lass.
But I ken nae man ye, London.
Listen to me, lass. Ye gang to his grace, the Duke of Argyll. MacCallaghmore, aye, he's a rich Scotsman.
Would that be the Duke of Argyll that suffered with me father's men in the time of the religious persecution?
Aye, his son, or his grandson. But list ye, lass, you'll meet rough customers on the road afore you get to London. Highwaymen and stranglers and belike worse.
Oh, Jeannie, you nae win through them.
Ah, lassie, by the way. Some customers will nae touch a friend of Jim Ratcliffe's. They'll no harm a lass what carries a letter from me. I'll write you one, the new lass, and then I'll wall you to London and stick to your guy, lass. If any man can do the job, it'll be him.
Jeannie! Jeannie! Wait!
What would you, Reuben?
Where are you going, lass, where you're tartan in that bundle?
I'm going to London to ask Effie's life for the king and queen.
You, but...
Well, why not, Reuben? Their hearts be made of flesh and blood like other folks.
But, Jeannie, the king these days doesn't sit in the gate to administer justice as in patriarchal times. He does everything through his ministers.
I can that well enough.
Oh, it's a wild dream,
you can do it, Reuben. With your help.
Mine?
Aye.
But I'm only a minister without even a parish.
Aye. But have I heard of your grandfather that did some good, Langstein, to the forebearer, the Duke of Argyle?
Aye, you're right. He did. There's an old paper in the family Bible signed by the Duke's grandfather himself.
If you'll but lend me that paper, Reuben.
Of course, Jeannie. But you can't go to London alone. You'll never get there. You've no money for horses or coach fare. I have none to give you.
Nay, but I hear me ain't 12 feet. That's good enough for the trip.
To London on foot?
And I'll save Effie's life. Oh, it is the last chance.
Jeannie, let me go with you. Give me your husband's right to protect you, and I'll go with you.
Nay, Reuben. E'en the king's pardon wouldn't make me a bride fitting for an honest man in the kirk and in the minister. You ken it's a disgrace that spreads to kith and kin.
But, Jeannie,
ah, you're good and kind, Reuben. But let me gang along now. I'll go by your cot for the letter to Argyle. Then I maun be off. It's a fair long way to London.
What would you be wanting?
Am I right for the London road?
London? Hey, straight on, lads, till you get to the English border. But mind you, watch out there. They ain't friendly to the Scotch across young land. Bloody Sassenachs.
Well now, girl, where art thou from this night?
Scotland, in it, please. I'm on gang to London.
Oh, thou'st come a fearful way, then. Now thou art to rest, or thy poor tired feet will give out.
But I have nae silver for an inn.
I'll not take silver from a poor girl like you. Go on into the house and welcome.
Hast thee got thy money in a safe place, lass?
Aye, nay, but £1, Scots.
All the same, they'd best lay it by deep in a bundle. There'll be those in the wood that have slipped our throat for the ribbon round thy hair. They'd best beware, lass.
Hell there! Stand! Stand and deliver!
I cannot, can you?
Your money precious or your life. Come along now. I'd as soon wet down the highway dust with your blood as not.
But I ain't no silver, not but this. I have worked for Scotland these 4 days. You cannot keep me. It's a life I mount save.
Scotland, eh, lass?
Aye.
Well, you've come on the right man. Old Tyburn Tom's been haunting this road for 3 days past, waiting on you.
You cannot have been waiting for me.
You're Jeannie Deans, are you not?
Aye. But I didn't care.
That's enough. Come along.
Nay, nay, please, sir. Don't take me off the road. I'm bound to London.
Come along. Now, come sweet and pleasant when old Tarbon Tom called you.
Oh, for the love of God, sir, take all I have. But leave me on my own way.
What the devil are you chattering about? Come along now.
Where are you taking me?
No further than this old barn. There. Open now. Open, you old witch. I brought you the last.
You've
had me work for.
Is it you, Tyburn Tom?
Who else? Better seen the old blind rat.
And you brought her. You brought me Jeannie Deans.
That's who, you old witch.
Let me look at her. Let me look close at her.
Who are you?
You dinny ken old mother blood, eh? No more but your sister. But he would. Aye, he'd ken me, Black Geordie Robertson.
The man that... Oh, no.
Aye, the father of your sister's bairn.
Oh.
The outlaw knows me well. Aye, and he knows my daughter. My poor daughter, what's in a cell of bedlam over Geordie Robertson. Poor daft bairn.
But why you took me here? I don't understand.
You'll stay here, lassie, till way past the time your sister swings.
Oh.
Then will Black Geordie's sweetheart be cold dead to this bairn.
Then you ken what happened to my sister's child?
I know. I know full well what happened. The bairn lies at the bottom of the river.
Oh, no. No.
And now I have you here with me. My poor, daft daughter will be revenged. She lost her wits for love of Geordie.
But your sister has to hang for him. Hang! Hang for the snake! Do you hear that?
Tom. Mr. Tom.
Eh? Catch your gab, lass.
Will you come over here, please?
Well, what'll it be now, you wild Scotch devil?
Will you not let me hang on to London? You heard the old woman. It's my sister's life.
Ah, what's one ain't more or less to me.
Is she asleep?
The old witch?
I...
Dead to the world. Now, why don't you be good, lass, and do likewise?
Oh, please wait. I have a paper here. A note. Please look at it.
Hold it up to the moonlight. What? Where did you get this?
A friend.
It's Jim Ratcliffe's hand. Sure as I land on the gallows. So you're a friend of Dandy Jim's.
He said that... I mean...
safe conduct if you fell among thieves.
Aye.
Every gentleman of the road knows Jim Ratcliffe's mark.
Then you'll let me go. Oh, please, please, for the love of God. You'll
murder me, but...
For the love of God, please.
Oh, well.
Please.
It'll do no harm to be on the good side of Jim Ratcliffe, either side of the prison gate. All right. Hold up your hands. I'll cut the rope.
Oh, God bless you. You didn't ken what you're doing for me.
Here now, girl. Come off that.
Let go of me.
Hey, you can't go in there.
I must speak with his grace, the Duke of Argyll.
Ha ha! So you'd speak with his grace, eh? Hey. And who may you be? The Duchess of Ragtag?
You have no right to laugh at me. I'm a countrywoman of his grace's, and I'll not be mocked.
Now, see here, lass. This here is London, not your wild Scotch country. That can't every beggar with a tartan and brogue get in to see his grace. Now be off.
Let go, I say. Let me go.
Here, here. Come back. You can't go in. You can't disturb his grace. Come back now.
What's that, Archibald? Someone to see me?
A country girl from Scotland, Your Grace. She broke past the porter at the gate.
Well, since she's here, she may as well see her. Fetch her in, Archibald.
Yes, Your Grace. Come in, lass.
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
Well, come in, me bonny lass.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Now, did you wish to speak with me, or was it the Duchess?
Well, Your Honor, my lad, your lordship's grace.
No, 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 what is it, lass? Pray sit down. I sit and take your breath. Take your time. I guess by your tongue you've come from Scotland, hmm? Did you come through the streets here with your plaid over your head thus?
Aye, sir, and the wee lads hooted at me and some flying stones.
Ah, it is shameful. Well, now, your business.
Your Honor, I beg your lordship's pardon. I mean your grace.
Oh, nee, to me grace, lass. Speak a plain tale so you have Scots tongue in your head.
Sir, I am the sister of that poor, unfortunate criminal, Effie Deans, who was ordered for execution at Edinburgh.
Deans, Deans? Do we know the case, Archibald?
The child murder, Your Grace. It was mentioned in Parliament.
Aye. Duncan Forbes spoke of it at dinner as well.
So I come from the north, sir, to see what can be done for her, either way of getting a pardon for the king.
Ah, lass, poor girl. You've made a long, sad journey to very little purpose.
But there's a law for pardoning her. It wants but the king's name on the paper. Is that not so, sir?
Certainly, but that's purely in the king's breast. Besides, the crime of child murder has become increasing common. The Scotch Crown lawyers think it right. It'd be an example.
But, sir, the king...
And there's more, poor lass. You have no argument against the court's decision, except your sisterly affection. What friends have ye at court?
Nay, sir. Saving God and your grace.
But I have no way of averting your sister's death. The sentence must be carried out.
But she... She's no true murderess. Tis but a suspicion. And oh, sir, I could have said the words to save her. but I dared not speak for telling an untruth. And I walked all the way to London to save her.
But I'm no lawyer, girl. Why did you have to come to me?
Because all Scotland kens the Duke of Argyll as his country's friend, and that you fight for the right.
But I can't take every appeal to the king.
I had any other reason for troubling, Your Honor. One who takes concern in me wished well to Your Grace, because his grandsire once did your ain Fairbairn good service. Lang syne. What is written here on this paper?
Let me see. To all that may have friendship with the host of Argyll, yes. Benjamin Butler, of my regiment having been under God the means of saving my life, I do conjure my kinsmen, either in Highlands or Lowlands, to aid said Butler or his family whene'er they shall fall in need. Witness my hand, Lorne, Duke of Argyll.
Your own grandsire.
Aye, that is a strong injunction, and in my grandfather's hand. This was your grandsire, Benjamin Butler?
Nay, sir, a neighbor. A man who takes concern in me. We were to have wed, but he's a clergyman, and I wouldn't let him marry the like of me with this disgrace on my kindred.
You're a singular lass. Now then, tell me, why do you think your sister innocent?
She's not been proved guilty. I hear you the words of the trial to show you.
Young woman, your sister's case does seem a hard one.
Oh, you'll save her, sir. Will you now?
I will speak to some of our Scots gentlemen of the law, and then perhaps in higher places.
Aye, sir. And if I might say to your grace, though it be no civil of me, dinna think there be such a difference atwixt ye and those you see as between poor Jeanie Deans and his grace the Duke of Argyll. Dinna be cast down with the first rough answer.
I lass, that's braw advice. Now, Mark, be here tomorrow morning early and come dressed to see where you are now. We'll talk and clad over your head. And I think then we can get you an audience with a lady of great importance.
Here she is.
Oh, I didn't care what to say. Tell me something, Your Grace.
Oh, no, Jean. That would be like reading a sermon in Kirk. And we Presbyterians think that less winning than the word spoken extempore. Come along now.
Ma'am, I crave a word.
My Lord Duke of Argyll, I hope, my Lord Duke, you have good health.
Most excellent, ma'am. This is the young Scotswoman of whom I spoke yesterday.
What is the affair, my lord?
It is a poor girl in Edinburgh prison. My humble petition addressed to you is to obtain your powerful intercession with the king for a pardon.
I suppose this young, picturesque woman is some 30th or 40th cousin of yours in the terrible chapter of Scottish genealogy?
No, ma'am. But I wish some of my nearer relatives had half her worth and honesty.
Come, Argyll.
Ma'am, if you would consent to hear my countrywoman, perhaps she might find an advocate in your own heart more able than I.
Speak up, young woman.
Go on, Jeanie, go on.
I have walked here from Scotland and...
Walked all that way on foot? How far in a day?
25 miles and a bit of...
A what?
About 5 miles more, ma'am.
I thought I was a good walker, but this shames me sadly.
May your ladyship nae have to weary your heart that you cannot be sensible to the weariness of limbs.
Well?
My lady, my sister Effie still lives, though her days are numbered. She still lives, and a single word for the mouth of the king man bring her back to her father, who nae forgot to pray that his majesty may be blessed with a long and prosperous reign.
Really, Arthur?
Oh, madam, if you ever kent what it was to sorrow for a sinning and suffering creature, whose mind is say tossed with guilt and sadness, then you'll save an honest home for dishonor, and a lass who's nae 18 years old from the gallows and the rope. Oh, my lady, it is not what we have done for our own selves, but what we have done for others that we think of most pleasantly. Ain't sweet word of mercy from your lips will live on in your heart for aye.
This is eloquence, my Lord Argyll.
Oh, you'll save my sister, for God's mercy.
I cannot grant a pardon to your sister, young woman, but you shall not lack my warm intercession with his majesty. And now, my Lord Duke, our business is ended for the present. Come, Lady Suffolk. Commend us to your lady, my Lord Argyle.
Your humble servant, ma'am.
Virgie, your case is in the king's hands.
Oh, your grace, I warrant she were a grand lady. But is she high up enough at the court to reach the king?
What?
Oh, she was dressed so plain. I do not think she can be too close to the court.
What, lass? You don't know who the plain-dressed lady was?
Nay, your grace.
Jeannie? That was Her Majesty Queen Caroline of England.
Oh, is it fair? I misdoubted it were the queen when I saw that your honor didn't put on your hat. In Scotland, nay man would dare speak for your laird without his bonnet on his head.
It's come, Jeannie. The king's council has met and acted.
A pardon, your grace. A pardon for Effie. Oh, God be thanked.
Ye'll ride to Scotland, my own coach, Jeannie, and with Mr. Archibald and the king's messenger.
Will the pardon get to Edinburgh in time? The magistrates will no want to cheat the folk of their great sport. 'Tis an ilk day they hang a poor lassie the grass square market.
Aye, there isn't much time, but if horses will do it, Effie's life is her own once more. But I've ordered the coach now. Bundle up your things, Jeannie, and awa.
Oh, I hear Nathan put my own clothes, your grace. I'll be ready to gang out at once.
Cheer up, Jeannie, lass. Don't frown so, it ill becomes a pretty girl.
And then again, faster, Mr. Archibald.
There are no horses faster than the Duke of Argyle's, Jeannie. In a fascia so last, they'll beat the hangman, sure. What is it now? Open the gates.
Hold up those horses.
What is this? Open up.
Nay, nay, you can't gang in the gates of Edinburgh after the curfew.
You see my sword, man? You will open those gates or be skewered like a herring smoked for the winter. Now open.
Lass, up on your feet.
Oh, no. No. It cannot be time. You cannot hang me this day. It is not time.
Peace, lassie, peace. You ain't a dancing party with the devil this day. He'll be in keen for to see you.
Effie, lass.
Oh, Jane.
I had the pardon. I had the pardon. I had given it to the prison governor. You're free, Effie. A free lass with full pardon from the king.
Oh, no.
I
cannot be so.
No, a sane man ought to see the light of that. Yank free the hooter of a hangman and see grieving like a hungry cool with a wet thing.
Oh, Jenny, it's true. It's true. I may have to die.
Aye, lass. I talked with the queen face to face and she were no muckle different for ye and I.
Well, lass, are you so fond of yourself that you want to spit another nick in it? I hae the warrant to free ye. Come along, Nano. Out of the sorrow of the gibbet.
Oh, Jeannie. Where will I gang, Nano? I hae nae hame nor refuge.
You canna go home with favor. He'll ne'er speak more to you, lass. But come along, I hae no doubt the Reuben butler will give ye a place in his mother's cot.
Ah, how are we, but are ye? Gang awa hame, lass. And God bless ye.
Effie, where are you, lass?
Around the cow. Oh, here, stand still, boss. Ah, oh, I hae ne seen sic a contrary beast as Reuben's cow.
I come to you with the good news first, lass.
You hae ne need to tell me.
You're going to be wed with Reuben.
Oh, aye. How did you ken that?
Oh, he's still in me head, lass.
Ah, but that's ne what I come to tell you. You're to gang down straight away to the shore of the Firth.
What?
I did ask me questions, lass. I swore not to tell yours, but gang off straight away.
Oh, I'm a milk boss before I stir away.
Lass, I'll finish your milk and be off to the Firth.
Mm-hmm.
darling, me ain't darling.
Effie, girl, I would have come along before, but I lay sick of the brain fever and I couldn't stir from the house.
But the Bailey soldiers, they'll catch me.
Oh, no fear. I'm no more the outlaw. My father has secured the pardon for me. The old baronet would not see his only heir dance away life on the gallows.
Your father a laird? Oh, but isn't your name Robertson? Or so they told me at the prison.
No less. I have another name which I dared not soil in my wild days. Staunton. That's my own true name. And it will be yours.
I should nae gang wi' you. For you were the partner of my sin, but... Oh, but I love you, Geordie. I love you for aye.
Then come away, for there's a boat down at the quay. Come away, Effie, and you'll come no more to Scotland.
Nae mair to Scotland. To Edinburgh. Nae mair to Talbot Prison. Oh, Geordie, let us gang quick for noo. Geordie, me darling.
You have been listening to The Heart of Midlothian, an NBC University Theater production of the Walter Scott novel, starring Maureen O'Sullivan as Jeannie Deans. Next week at the same time, we will bring you another classic of Anglo-American literature, Tales of Edgar Allan Poe. The present semester of the NBC University Theater is devoted to the classics of Anglo-American literature from the time of Henry Fielding to that of Henry James. If you wish, you may learn more about these authors and their works by enrolling in the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC University Theater. The University of Tulsa in Oklahoma, Kansas State Teachers College, and Washington State College have now completed their plans for offering such a course in the coming months, thus joining the University of Louisville, whose established home study plan is already serving listeners in another area of the nation. For information, then, as to how you may enhance your knowledge through these courses, write to the NBC University Theater, in care of the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky, Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas, Washington State College, Pullman, Washington, or the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Heart of Midlothian was adapted for radio by Frederick Schlicht and Ernest Canoy. Our intermission commentator was Amy Loveman. Starred as Jeannie Deans was Miss Maureen O'Sullivan. Our cast included Ina Ronsley as Effie Deans, Philip Friend as Geordie Robertson, Raymond Lawrence as David Deans, the father, Whitfield Connor as the bailie, Ben Wright as Reuben Butler, George Pembroke as the jailer, Paul McVeigh as state counsel, Pat Ahern as counsel for the defense, Alec Harford as the innkeeper, Donald Morrison as Tyburn Tom, Norma Varden as Mother Blood, Ramsey Hill as the Duke of Argyle, Doris Lloyd as the Queen, your announcer, Don Stanley. The original musical score was composed and conducted by Dr. Albert Harris. The director of the NBC University Theater is Andrew C. Love. Next week, be with us again for the NBC University Theater dramatization of Tales of Edgar Allan Poe, starring Joseph Schildkraut. NBC University Theater production of The Heart of Midlothian by Sir Walter Scott came to you from Hollywood's Radio City. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.